Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Mem Dalad, and we have a new mic today, so everybody please send us the feedback. I'm not sure if anybody's going to be listening out there today. It's the second day Yontif, but after Yontif, if you're listening, but we'll try it again the next time we use it, but please let us know how this mic is. On our computer, it seems to be a little stronger, so let us know. We are constantly looking to improve the quality of the sound, so and of the content, I guess, also, but let us know how the mic is. Okay, let us continue. Mem Gimel Mabez, one of the, haven't had this in a while, where the Amud basically ends off in the middle, so you have to go back a little bit, just to remember what we're talking about. The Gemara yesterday quoted a Brisa on Mem Gimel Mabez after the two dots. The Gemara quoted that if somebody sells a house or a field, so then that seller is not allowed to testify on behalf of the buyer. Well, he's, as the Gemara's discussion yesterday of Nogea Be'edus, he is, could be that he's going to be biased in his testimony because he has an ulterior motive, a connection to, a monetary connection to the case, so we're not going to allow him to testify. So the Braisa made a distinction between Karka and Metaltalin. The Braisa said that if somebody sells a house or a field, that he cannot testify for the buyer because Achrayusu Alav, because the Achrayus is on him, because he's responsible. But if he sells him a cow or a talus or some other Metaltalin, then he's allowed to because Ein Achrayusu. So that's what the Gemara is bothered by. What's the difference? Testify in terms of saying that it really belongs to him, really belongs to the buyer. So the question is, what exactly is the difference between the karka and the metaltzelin? The Gemara asks, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa, what's the difference? There could be achrayus in a case of metaltzelin, there cannot be achrayus in a case of karka. So what's the difference between the two? So the Gemara gave one explanation yesterday, Rav Sheshes, which the Gemara is going to discuss the next 20 lines until we get to number 2, which will be on the middle of the next Amud, Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. But Rav Sheshes' suggestion was, what's the distinction? The case is, we didn't even get to the distinction yet, that's going to come up on today's daf, but the start of the answer was that Rav Sheshes explained, a case is Reuven stole a field from Shimon and sold it to Levi. And now Yehuda's coming and saying, the field's mine. I don't know why Levi has this field. It was sold to him from Shimon. It was sold to him from Reuven. Reuven was the Goslin. Reuven sold it to Levi. And now Yehuda's coming. So the issue is, can Shimon go? Shimon, the original owner, can Shimon go and testify on behalf of Levi? Because he doesn't want Yehuda to get it. He wants Levi to have it. So can he testify on behalf of Levi? So the Gemara says, by Karka and Sadin, no, he cannot. Says the Gemara, 1 second. Okay, we didn't get to the whole distinction yet, how it fits into the Braisa, so that's going to come up on today's daf. But trying to understand the case first, what do you mean? How could Shimon, the original owner, testify that it's Levi's if he has any plans to get it back himself? So that doesn't he just prove himself a liar? Because he says it's Levi's, and he's going to come and say it was originally mine. So he's not going to be able to change his testimony. So Gemara says, no. What he's going to say is, Yadana, 6 lines up from the bottom, the Amar Yadana de Hayara de Lav Yehudahi. He doesn't say it's Levi's. He just says, I know this is not Yehuda's. And if he says, I know it's not Yehuda's, so he's saying, get it away from Yehuda, but especially mine. And that's what I'm going to testify about. I know it's not Yehuda's, and that's how he wouldn't be believed to say, meaning if he would say, it's mine, so then he wouldn't be believed to later say something, because that's an Ogea Be'edus. But he's believed to say, it is not Yehudas. That's what the Gemara says. So I just finished one more line. The Gemara says, what do you mean? With whatever schus that he's going to take it away from Levi, let him take it away from Yehuda. Meaning, why doesn't he just say it's his right now? Why doesn't he skip a step? So the Gemara answers, no, da'amar sheni noach li harishon kashay menu. The point is, he doesn't want to deal with Yehuda. Yehuda is a very difficult person, and therefore, he'd rather not have to deal with him in a court case. So that's why he wants it away from Yehuda, not to get there, and then he'll deal with Levi, and get it away from Levi to bring it back to his own possession. The Rashba on this line of, and other Rishonim also, but I'll quote it from the Rashba that says, I know this land is not Yehuda's. So what do you see from there? The fact that this person could testify in one direction. He could say it's not Yehuda's, even though he might not be believed to say something that relates to him, to himself. Says the Rashba, Mehafa Shamina, an important line. Dekol Shehu Be'enenu. Nogea, maybe somebody spoke about this yesterday. Tekoshu beinenu nogea beedus machmas mamon ubala ha'id. Anybody who is a nogea beedus and he's coming to testify, we don't automatically throw him out. Nogea beedus is not an objective psul that we would throw him out. Ein dochen oso miyad lo mano gebe edusu ve ein shomin lo. Bein l'schuso bein l'chavaso. Kinegias edus de kurva. If somebody's brother comes to court and wants to testify, we say, leave. We're not interested in you. Psul kurva is an objective psul, and we don't accept anything that you are going to say. Or the Gemara later on, Baal Basra is going to say, Moshe va'ara, no gebe, Moshe and Aaron can't testify with each other. Moshe and Aaron are going, they're going to lie? The answer is, it might not be about lying. It might just be about an objective soul that if you're related to the eight, to the parties, to each other, you can't testify, period. You can't say a word. You can't open up your mouth. That's by a karov. Says the Rashba, you know what you see from this Gemara? The Nogea Be'edus is not like that. Nogea Be'edus is purely based on the fact that we think you might lie. And therefore, if you're getting something out of it, you're going to have a monetary benefit, potentially. That's why you cannot testify. But if you're not, then we'll allow you to testify. Ela shomin dvaro, v'im yesh pe'eduso lefi ru'os hadayonim, shum negiyas edus, lahana aso, ein makablim mimenu, v'im lav, makablim mimenu. So therefore, says the Rashba, there's a major difference between a kurva and a nogeya be'edus. That's what you see from this Gemara. Nogeya be'edus and kurva. The Ksos quotes this Rashba. He quotes it as the Nemugi Yosef, but Nemugi Yosef also says it. He quotes this Rashba, and in Simin Lamed Zayin, and then quotes the Tumim. The Tumim, after quoting this Rashba, Nemugi Yosef says, "De Mashba Me Rashba, De Nogeya Yachol LaHaid LaChirim Nami Koshu LoChavaso." A Nogeya Be'edus also can testify about other people. Again, as long as it doesn't have to do with him, says the Tumim, I think he could testify, because Nogeya is very different than a Psul Kurva. Psul Kurva, we throw you out of court. Maybe, again, this we'll have to talk about, maybe a Psul Kurva, actually, I don't know if any of you spoke about the Tosfos yesterday on Shabbos, so there we all, the post can also talk about a Karov. Maybe a Karov is not even a Psul Eid at all. I think we mentioned in the past on a different Tumim. The Tumim says, Chereshot v'katan, Eved Isha Akum. Those six people, Chereshot v'katan, Eved Isha Akum. Those six do not have a shame aid at all. Those aren't pasal aidim. Those don't have a shame aid. And therefore, let's say, for the halacha of Nimsa Echad Karvo Pasal, Eidusan Batela. If you have an Isha amongst the aidim, it's not that, oh, you have a pasal aid, therefore you throw everybody out. 10 people come to court, one of them is a female. Oh, Nimsa Echad Karvo Pasal, you throw them out of court because one of the group became pasal. No! The Isha was never part of the Ekat. Was never part of the group. Chereshot v'katan Eved Isha Akum. So what about Karov? What about a relative? Is that a Pasul Eid or is that not an Eid at all? So that's a discussion. That's what the Ksos here discusses based on this Tumim. The Tumim, expanding on the Rashba, and the Nemukah Yosef says the Nogeya Be'edus can't testify for others as long as he's not getting any monetary benefit from him, and the Ksos doesn't like it. The Ksos thinks that Nogeya is closer to Karov than we're putting it. Nogeya, eno psul mishum mishaker, el mishum karov, imkein hu pasul bein l'schus bein l'chov. You have to figure out how he reads the Gemara. Right? He says not all Rishonim agree with this Rashba. There are others, but that is an important Rashba and a discussion of the Ksos on that Rashba. Okay, so three lines from the bottom. Another way to answer the question. Again, we did not get to the first shot of the Brisa yet. Those who walked in a little late. Remember, the Brisa has made a distinction that if I sell something, I'm allowed to testify on behalf of the guy who bought it, if it's land or a field, but not if it is a cow or a talus. The question is, what's the difference? Am I a Nogeya Be'edus or am I not a Nogeya Be'edus? So the Gemara said, maybe it's this unusual case where somebody stole it and then sold it, and then somebody else is coming, Yehuda's trying to come get it, the original Nigzal is allowed to testify that it's not his. Another reason why the original owner, Shimon, might want to get it out of Yehuda's hands and work and to get it from Levi, not only because Yehuda might be a difficult person, but also maybe Shimon has edim that it was his, but Yehuda also has witnesses that it was his. So it's going to be a stalemate. So you know what Shimon wants? Right now, who has the land? Levi has the land. The buyer has the land. Shimon, the Nigzal, wants to make sure Yehuda doesn't get the land. He has witnesses now, but he wants to make sure he doesn't get it. Why? Because we know whenever there's a stalemate, what's the rule? Muchzuk. Leave it where it is. So Yehuda has Edim. If Yehuda gets it, and there's going to be Edim versus Edim, then Shimon's never going to be able to get it. It's going to be a stalemate. So that's why Shimon's doing everything he can to make sure it doesn't get to Yehuda, so Levi will have it. Levi has no witnesses. Levi just bought it, and then I'll be able to get it from Levi. The Islay Sadi Lamar, Islay Sadi Lamar, each has witnesses, Viyamar Rabbanan, the Rabbanan say, Ara Hecha Tekaima, take them. Wherever the land is, let it stay there. And that's why Shimon is trying to prevent it from getting to Yehuda. So we didn't answer the question yet, but here we go. Now we get to what's the pshat of the Brisa.
Is that really what the pshat would be in case where there was Edom?
If there are Edom Treu Treis, then there's a machlokas whether Treu Treis Daraisa or Drabanan, second parak in Ksubis, but we would say, yeah, leave it where it is. Leave it where it is. So Velukba, what else would be the Psak? Yachloku, right, just, it's a stalemate. Velukba Begazlan, says the Gemara, aye, so why did the Rav Sheshes, remember, this is all Rav Sheshes, sixth line yesterday, Rav Sheshes came up with this case. Why do you have to say the case is? Four people, right, what happened? Reuven stole it from Shimon, and Reuven sold it to Levi. And now Yehuda comes in and says, it's mine, all of you are, I don't know what you all are you doing here. Why did you have to have the step of the sale? Ask the Gemara. Wouldn't it have been simpler, Rav Sheshes' case, say, Reuven stole it from Shimon, and now Yehuda comes and wants to take it away from Reuven, right? Reuven has it, and the Nigzal Shimon's trying to say, no, get out of here, and he's going to eventually take it from the Gazlan himself. What do you have to have the extra step of the sale, of the Mechira? So now the Gemara says, Mishim Tekaboy, Lemisni Seifa, because in the Seifa case, it has to be talking about a case of a sale. Why? Machalo par machalo talis. In that case, if you sold a cow or a talis, there the only reason you're allowed to testify on behalf of the buyer is because there was a sale. Didafka machar, only since there was a sale. Why? Dehavi leyeyush v'shini rishus. Getting back into Bava Kama days. Because if somebody sold it, then there is the two-pronged halachic principle of Yeish Vashini Rishus. Yeish, the original owner, gave up from giving it back, and then there was a change of Rishus, right? It went from the Gazlan to the buyer. So the halach is, even though we paskin that Yeish by itself is not kone, if I steal something, then you give a hope from getting it back, it's not mine, I have to give it back, but we do paskin that Yeish and Shini Rishus is kone. If you're miyaish on something, and then I sell it, and then I give it to somebody, that works. So that's why there's no nogeya be'edus in the second case. Because when I stole it and I sold it, so then the original owner has no chance ever of getting the item back. That's why he's allowed to testify on the behalf of the buyer. Because he's not getting it back. There was yesh and shidir b'shus. So he's not a nogeya be'edus. So there, that dafka needs the buyer. The sale. Avolo machar, but if it was not sold, the hajra lay, that the original, talus or cow was going to return, lo, he wouldn't be able to testify in his behalf. So therefore, suppose the safe has to have the case of mechira, tana reishanami mecher. That's why the reisha also has to talk about a case of sale. And that's why, even though the Eresha doesn't really have to talk about it, but the Eresha, that's why you still are an Ogeya Be'edus, because the land can come back to you. Why? So the Rashbam explains, we'll talk about this more in a minute, the Rashbam explains that the principle of Yeyush and Shini Rishus does not apply to Karka. It can only apply to Metaltzelin. Why? Look at the Rashbam. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Eighth wide line in the Rashbam. Second half of the line. Ula ashmi'inan asad. This is teaching me something. De begezel umecher yesh chilek b'imim mekarkoi lemetaltzeli. There's an important difference between karka and metaltzelin. De b'mekarkoi eino meyud. By karka, the same exact case happened, you cannot testify. You're nogea be'edus. Why? Davi nogea be'edus. De hajole, the land is going to go back to you. De ein yesh v'shini rishus mo'al b'karka. The principle of yesh v'shini rishus does not apply to land. De karka eino nigzeles. Karka cannot be stolen, right? And Yonat the Yoma, Sukkos, karka cannot be stolen, and therefore, that's why you're a Nogea Be'edus, even if the Gazlan sold it. Ubi metaltalin meyid, dekana lelokeach, but yeish vashini rishus, valom teheder le lahai meyid, and he'll never go back to the one who's testifying, and that's why he is allowed to testify, he's not called a Nogea Be'edus. So that's the case of the Brisa. We have our answer. We have the case. What's the case where if you sold something, you're allowed to testify if it's karka, not metaltzelin? In the case where somebody stole it from you, and then they sold it to somebody, and then a fourth party is trying to get it back, you're allowed to testify on behalf of the buyer by metaltzelin, because there was yesh and shini rishus. Unlike karka, where there was no yesh and shini rishus, and therefore there's a chance you might get it back, and that's why you're a nogeya be'edus. So there's a lot to talk about here, but let us first finish this whole answer of Rav Sheshes, and then we'll go back to talk about yesh and shini rishus. Let's continue first. V'seifa nami, 1 minute. In the case of the Seifa, by Metaltalin, so there was Yeish and Shini Rishus. So you will never get back. Again, somebody stole a cow from me and then sold it, and I had Yeish. I gave up hope from getting it back, and then they sold it to somebody else. So that cow will never come back to me. I have no rights to it. Yeish and Shini Rishus. So fine, I'm never going to get the object back, but I'm still going to get money back from the Gazel. I'm still going to get money back. I'm not going to get the Be'en back, but I'm still going to get money back. So why? I should still be a Nogeh Be'edus. Because I'm going to testify on behalf of Levi, that Levi is the one that bought it. But then I will be able to get money back from the Gazlan, because the Gazlan owes me money. So the Gemara says, Lo tzricha demis Gazlan. No, the case is where the Gazlan died. The Gazlan died, and if the Gazlan died, the halacha is, if a Gazlan steals something from me, and then he dies, so then, if it's obviously mine, well, let's continue. Ditznan, the Mishnah says in Baba Kama, Hagozu l'machlas banav, if somebody steals something and gives it to his children, v'hi niach lifnehem, and he left it for them, right, where the Rashbam says, or he left in front of them the actual gzela even. Pitur milashalim, yarshim do not have a chiyav of hashava. They don't have a chiyav of hashava. So that's the case here. That's why there's no chiyav of hashava's ba'en, because the Gazlan died. There's no even chiyav of hashava's damim. Because the Gazlan died, and therefore, that's why, once there's Yeish and Shini Rishus, he's not getting back the object, and then the Gazlan dies, therefore there's no chiyuv of returning money after that. Says the Gemara, V'lukba v'yoresh, what do you have to say then, the whole case about Mechira, that it was he sold it, just say the Gazlan died. And then the Yoresh, the child gets it, if the child gets it, so then it's already a change of Rishus. So says the Gemara, no, it depends. Ha nicha, come closer, feel free. Ha nicha lamanda amar rishus yoris laf grushus lokeachta mishapir. This is good, right? Machlokas in Baba Kama. Fine if you hold that when a person dies and he gives it to his inheritor, it's as if it was sold. There's also a transfer of ownership shapir. Then that's fine. If you say laf grushus lokeach, then we understand why we have to have a case of mechira, of a sale. Because you need a change of rishus to have a yeish and shini rishus. El alamanda amar rishus yoris kurishus lokeachtami. But if you say transfer to an inheritor is the same thing as the transfer to a buyer, so then ma'ikel ameimar. So why didn't Rav Sheshes just give that case? What if they have the extra step in the case that there was a sale? Just say the Gazlan died. That's also yeish v'shini rishus. So that should be good enough to explain the difference that by metaltalin you're never going to get it back. So therefore you're not a nogeh be'edus. While by karka, you will get it back.
If you don't hold it's a shini rishus, do they hold that the yorshim are p'turim mishalim?
If you don't hold it's a shini rishus, so then they would have to give it back. They would have to give it back. That's the point. It's brakara davua.
So that's a tana that says that.
That's a machlokas. Is that a machlokas tanam or machlokas maram? I don't remember.
We had a mission just now, right?
Right. I think, but the Gemara talks about it there. Think we're at the beginning of right up right. He says the Rashbam quotes it. Hani chlan damer ba goes al basra alat the hach mishnah, which is yours. That mishnah is holding lavka, right? Right, so it must be a machlokas tanoim there. I don't remember. Okay, so says the Gemara. So if you say rishus yoris is kerushus lokeach, so why do you have to come up with a case of selling? The old kasha. One more question, and then we'll stop. The old kasha leva abaya. Abaya also has a problem with this whole approach of Rav Sheshes for the past 20 lines. Mipreisha achriyuso alav vein achriyuso alav? Question comma. What's the whole distinction? Why by metaltalin can you testify and not by karka? What was the language of the brisa? Because you are responsible? No. The reason is whether the item is going back to you or not. That's what determines the nogeh be'edus. Nothing to do with whether you have achrayus on it or not. So the language of the brisa does not fit in to Rav Sheshes' pshat of the brisa. That's why we're going to reject the whole thing, and we're going to come up with a different pshat. That's why there's an Ella here. Ella will come up with a totally different pshat to explain the brisa. Okay, but before we do that, let's talk a little bit about the sugya that came up along the way. Yeish and Shini Rishus and Yeish. The Gemara says that there was a distinction between the metaltalin and the karka, and the Rashbam said explicitly that there is no Yeish when it comes to karka. Yeish does not work when it comes to karka. You can't be miyayi. If somebody steals land from me, let's say, in sukkah, Leonard the Yoma talks about a stolen sukkah. How do you steal a sukkah? So what happened? I went into your sukkah, I knocked you out, I checked you out of your rishut, out of your, give a hockey example, Canadians, right? Right? So I checked you out of your sukkah, and I sit in and I squat in it. Or let's say you have a sukkah on a truck, right, on a camel, and I take your camel and I take your sukkah away. So the Gemara talks about, is it possible to steal it? But let's say you have land. So there's no yeish, I give up hope from getting it back. Yeish does not work by land. So the question is, that's what the Rashbam says here, Beferish. Tosfos here on top quotes the Yerushalmi that yeish works by karka. Most Rishonim say that yeish does not work by karka. Third, fourth skinny line, there's a Yerushalmi in Kelayim, yeish mo'al by karka. So what's the issue? Does yeish work by karka or not? So we've discussed in the past the major sugya of what is yeish. How does yeish work in general? I give up hope. Tosa says in Baba Kama, in Perek Meruba, yeish is not hefker. Tosa doesn't say what it is, it just says it's not hefker. Hefker means I'm after it. I say it's nonalith. Does yeish work that way? Right? Yeish doesn't work. Yeish, I don't want to be mafkerit. So there are three or four interpretations. The Chazon Ish writes, you know what yeish is? It's a hefker balkarcha. Tosis, if I'm means it's not a regular hefker, but it's a hefker balkarcha. You have my item. I'm giving up hope that I'm getting it back. You know, I have to be mafkerit. I don't have a choice. Ain't brera, because I'm not going to get it back. That's the language of the Chazon Ish and Baba Kama and Simin Yud Ches. Kavanosam de hefker hu she'osam mirtzono atov v'hu echan mehinyonim she'atora hishlita sabayla mamamono. Kamoshi yachol limkar valitin alahakdish yachol lahafkir. Yeshu hafka'a balkarcha neged ritzono. Uke'ein hefker deshatfa nahar. It's a hefker balkarcha. It's like when there's something in the sea. Right, the Gemara talks about, let's say my watch falls off a boat. I'm on a boat, the watch, I see the watch in the water. I'm screaming, no, don't go, don't go. You know what that's called? That's called shatfa nahar. That means even if I'm screaming, I want it back, tough luck. That's an objective yeish. Even if it laps up onto the beach a week later and I can identify it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because that's called zuto shoyam or shatfa nahar. Right, we discussed that in the second parak of Bamitziah. We give it up. He gives it up. That's yeish balkarcha. That's a hefker balkarcha. That's the language of the Chazon Ish. But there are two other pshatim given, maybe more than two other pshatim. The Nesivus and the Ksos both here. Interesting, they agree. They both say, you know what yeyush is? Yeyush means a heter, basically, for you to take it from the owner. It does not leave the reshus of the owner until it gets into the reshus of the next person. That's what yeyush is. Says the Nesivus in Reish Samach Beis. Yeish chiluk ben yeish lehefker. After Kaimelon to Hefker, Havi Hefker, Afagabdalo, Asil Rishus Soche, even though it's Hefker is good, even before the next person gets it. Once it's sitting in the street, it's Hefker. If I'm mocking something, I might have to reacquire it. Yeush is nothing until it gets to the next person. That's why the Nesivus explains, let's say I want to retract my Yeush. Do I have to do another kinyon on it? No. If I'm mafkir something and I want to take it back, I have to do another kinyon on it. It's hefker. But if I want to reacquire something after yeish, I could just say, okay, it's mine, without doing another. Because yeish, it doesn't really leave my reshus until the next person gets it. That's the nesivus, that's the ksos. Let's just mention two more and then we'll get back to our sugya. The Rav Soloveitchik mentioned the idea of what is yeish. Yeish, based on the Ramban, everybody's based on this Ramban, but yeish does not work. Ramban says yeish does not work on it, something that's in your reshus. Let's say I lost my watch under my bed. Can't find it. I looked for a week for my wife. I can't find this. I'm going to see yeish on it. Does yeish work? It's under my bed. I just don't know. So yeish doesn't work there because it's in my reshus. The Ramban says yeish cannot work on a devashir reshus. So why? Rav Soloveitchik explains, you know why? Because yeish means hashlamas shem avud. The completion of the status of avud to an item. That's what the Rav Shechter quotes in Eretz HaTzvi from Shem the Rav. Hashlom Hashem Avod. Therefore, if something's in your Rishus, it can never gain the status of Avod, of lost. If it's out of your Rishus, it's Miksas Avod. Once I'm Yayish, then it's Mashlom the Shem Avod, and that's why it's no longer that I have has a connection to me. Explains the Rav Soloveitchik, that's why you can't be Miyayish on Karka. Our Rashbam now. Why isn't there Yayish by Karka on it to most Rishonim? Because Karka cannot be lost. Karka's in an exelus. Right? Karka is always yours. You don't always know where it is. It's never avud. There's always a Hashavas Aveda by Karka. It's never avud. So that's why you cannot be miyayish on Karka. Again, the other Mefarshim also work in, but that's how the Rav Soloveitchik explains why you cannot be miyayish on avud. Okay, there are other pshatim. We've mentioned in the past the Minchasash's pshat of what yeish is. We're not going to mention it now, but that is part one of this big discussion, yeish. The other one, again, there are two things to talk about in Amud Aleph here. Number one is yeish. Number two is yeish v'shini reshus. The Rashbam here, again, these are big sugyas. The Rashbam here says, on the second wide line, you know what the case is? Where you know that he had yeish before, you know the owner had yeish before the Goslin sold it. The Shamine Lashimin, the Yayish Baodabase Ruvain, Kodem Shamachul Levi, Tavi Yeish Biyada Gazlam, Vishini Rishus Biyada Lokeach. Right, Yeish Vishini Rishus, second wide line of the Rashbam. Again, this is a major machlokas rishonim. When we say that even if you say yeish does not work, yeish and shini rishus works, does the order make a difference? What if the Goslin stole it, right, and then he sold it, and then I gave up hope? Does it make a difference? The Rashbam says it has to be yeish and then shini rishus. So if you look at the Rambam says it makes no difference. The Rambam in Hilchas Gezeila says it doesn't matter whether you have yeish first or whether you have shini rishus first. It works. Works. That is the Rambam. If you look at other Rishonim say no. Say the Ravid and the Ramban and the Rush says it. It makes a difference. Yeish has to be first. What's the difference? So again, the Achronim discuss. Many Achronim discuss what's how does yeish and shini rishus work? If yeish doesn't work by itself, how does yeish and shini rishus work? So some suggest, just to mention two possibilities, some say it's a team. They each accomplish something. Yeish and shini rishus. And if you have them together, they work. So therefore, maybe that's the Rambam. It doesn't make a difference. Yeish, they both work as a team somehow, and therefore it doesn't make the difference of the order. But many Rishonim say, no, you know how yeish and shini rishus works? What's the problem if you stole something, and then I gave up hope? You still can't keep it. Why? Because you stole it. You took it illegally. If it came into your rishus, what's called bi'isura asiliyade, then you can't keep it. That's why yeish generally does not work. The second that I gave up hope, but then you sold it, then the buyer did nothing wrong. That's why he's allowed to keep it. If I had yeish by the time you sold it, then there's nothing wrong with the buyer. But if I didn't have yeish yet, and then you stole it, then he's also a goslin. He's also bi'isura asiliyade. That's why it makes a big difference, says the Rush, whether isura asiliyade or not. Another nafkamina, and then we'll move on. There's a machlokas between the Rosh and the Ritva. In Meseches, the Ritva and Kiddushin, the Rosh is in Baba Kama. The Rosh said at the beginning of Meruba, let's say a man steals something, and then goes over to a woman and says, Hare Mukadesh Levitvaz Mukadesh Mother of Yisrael, and gives it to the woman. Right? So it says, does that, so, and they, let's say the owner was Miyayish on it. Had been Miyayish on it. He stole it, I stole it, and I gave it. So does that marriage work? That marriage works. The Ritva says yes. That's yesh and shini rishus. I stole it. It was yesh and I gave it to the woman. Says the Rosh, no. It's not yesh and shini rishus. It doesn't work. Answer is why not? The Rosh knows the Gemara. Yesh and shini rishus. Why doesn't it work? So the problem is as follows. Yeah? When is this a shini rishus? It's only once the woman gets it. But what do you mean? It has to be the husband's before he gives it to the woman. It has to be the husband's before he gives it to the woman. So that's why the yeish and rishus didn't work. Right? What about the Ritva? Swing the pendulum back. According to the Ritva, why does it work then? Why doesn't it work? Born ke'echad! It happens at the same time. Right? Like, so we have, how could the woman accept her own get? She does not have a yad to accept her own get. Everything she has, her husband has. But that's the magical principle of born ke'echad. It happens at the same time. So that's what the Ritva says. Back to the Rosh. Why doesn't born ke'echad work here? Why does born ke'echad work here? The answer is, the Ksos explains, Bon Ke'echad only works if there is a kinyan being done. By a get, you're giving it over. By Shini Rishus, Yeish and Shini Rishus, says the Rosh, explained by the Ksos, that's not a regular kinyan. Yeish just removes the problem of Isura Asiliyade, that it's Usur, so before it comes to her hand. But Yeish isn't a real kinyan. So that's why the principle of Bon Ke'echad only applies by kinyanim. Meaning it's a root machlokas between the Rosh and the Ritva is, what does Yeish accomplish in the Yeish and Shini Rishus? Are they both parts of a kinyan, and therefore it shouldn't make a difference of the order, the Rambam, and it shouldn't make a difference if it happens at the same time? That's the Ritva. Or do you say the Rosh l'shitaso? The Rosh says it does make a difference of the order, and the Rosh says she's not married in this case because it is not a kinyan, it's just that Yeish removes the problem of Isura Asiliyadei, and therefore the person can keep it. Again, this is a huge topic, just to whet the appetite, and then we will we'll continue. Yeah. If it wasn't Isura Asiliyadei,
it was lost, so does the order matter?
But if you picked up an item before Yeish and you didn't return it, there's a Chiyuv Hashava, that's still Isura Asiliyadei. I mean, the Gemara talks about Aveda by the difference between Aveda and Gezeila in this case. Okay. That's where the Ramban is. Ramban's in Bamatzia when it talks about that difference. Okay, we can't go further with that right now, but let's continue. So Ella, 5 lines up at the bottom. Ella Kedorin by Shmuel. Second, totally different shot. What is the difference? What's the reason? Again, the Brisa had the chilek between if I sold something, if I sold karka, I cannot testify on behalf of the buyer. If I sold a cow or a talis, I can. Why? So, Rav Sheshi said one shot, he's out. Ella could Rav Bar Shmuel. Damar Rav Bar Shmuel Mishay the Shmuel. What we had yesterday. Hamocher sold the chaver shelo ba'achrayis. If I sold a field to somebody, shelo ba'achrayis, meaning if my creditor comes and takes it from them, I don't have to pay back the buyer. Ain meyelo alah. I still cannot testify on behalf of that buyer. Why? Why can't I testify? I'm not going to have to pay him back anyway. Because I want my buyer to have it. I don't want it to be taken from him because I want my creditor at least to be able to go and collect it from him. If I have no possessions, and then my creditor has no place to go, then I'm going to be a terrible guy. Why? As we had yesterday, the Rosh Hashanah explains it again here. Lo v'rasha v'lo yishalim. I don't want to be a borrower who doesn't pay back. I'm going to get the reputation of being a Rasha. I don't pay back my loans. So therefore, I want my buyer at least to have it. So then, my creditor could go to my buyer and take it. Okay, my buyer, tough luck. I sold it to him without a price. He took his chances. But I'd rather have that than to be a Loveh that doesn't pay back. The Rebbe Chanan here says, one second, he quotes the Kasha, the Rimigash. So, because of Loveh, and that's why he is not believed. Why? Because we think he's going to lie, Eid Sheker, in order not to be a lover, Rosh Hashanah Yishalim. What about giving Eid Sheker? He's such a tzaddik. Isn't Eid Sheker worse than just getting a bad reputation of lover, Rosh Hashanah Yishalim? Okay, so David says maybe this isn't a halachic Jew, this is a practical Jew. I mean, he doesn't want to get a bad reputation out in the marketplace. He doesn't care so much about halacha. Okay, that's one answer. But Chanan explains maybe the case is where he's not lying. It's really his, he just doesn't have proof that he could prove it. So he tries to come up with a case that he's not a Rasha, that he's not going to be a Dasheker. Okay, but either way, so this is what the issue is, that he cannot testify on him because we assume maybe he's lying. So now the Gemara says, so what's the difference in the Braisa? The Dafka Bayis Osadeh, and the only time he cannot testify for his buyer is for a house or a field, because there he's being mamida in front of his balchov. I have a para vitalis lo, but by a para and a talis, meaning metaltalin, the whole issue doesn't come up, and therefore there's not going to be an issue of nogeya be'edus. And therefore we're not going to be choshish, he's lying. Why? Lo mi bai bistama. Not only in a case where I didn't say anything, I borrowed money from you, and I did not designate any of my property to pay you back with, not only in that case, where there is no shibud, can I testify on behalf of the buyer? Why? My time. For sure I can testify there because we know by matazlin, movable items, they are not mishubit to a balchov. So if I sold my gold watch to somebody, to Reuven, and then my creditor comes and I have no money and wants to go to Reuven to collect it, tough luck. He cannot go and collect the matazlin. Why not? Why aren't metaltalim mishubit to a balchov? Two reasons given in the Rishonim. The Rashbam here, the second Rashbam on the page, says, why not? Because then nobody will ever buy anything. Nobody will ever buy any metaltalim. Because metaltalim, there is no kol, there is no public idea that people know about it, that you lent money and therefore this is a... So if I buy this, so then, you know what, you're going to come to me a year later, your creditor? Nobody's ever going to buy anything. The society won't be able to function. So that's why metaltalin are meshubit to a balchov. If you look in Rashi in his own neshach, Rashi has a different shot. Why are metaltalin meshubit to a balchov? Because the creditor doesn't have it in mind that that's going to be a security. Because he knows these things could be hidden, these things could be lost, so he only focuses on karka. He only focuses on karka. So two reasons given in the Rishonim. If we have time at the end, we'll get to a drisha. We probably won't have time. If you look in the drisha and simin kuf yud gimel, why you need two reasons. He comes up with cases why one reason wouldn't apply and one reason would apply. So there's two reasons why metaltalin are meshubit to a balchov. Yeah, average Joe knows that.
The whole svara is, can I be made or not?
Okay, but they know something. Am I going to be able to get this?
I don't know it, and I think my creditor can get it.
Whether average Joe knows this, or whether Bezin will accept it, because it's possible that he knows it. Whether Bezin will accept this testimony, because he might be in Ogeba Edus. So the Gemara says, when it comes to Metaltalin, you're allowed to testify, because your creditor is never going to go collect it from the buyer. Not only where is the case of Stam, where you didn't designate anything, the Avagat Tachasavle Mikli Medal Kasvai, and even if you say, and I'm going to give you even the shirt off my back. Hanimili disnu beinayu. That's only if you have it. If it's b'nei choron, if it's still with you. Aval listnu beinayu lo. But if you don't have your possessions with you, then if it's not on you, if it's sold, he cannot collect it. Ella, not only in that case, ella filu aso apotiki nami. Even if you designated apotiki, as the Rashbam says, stands for potehei koi. this is where you're going to collect from. Even if you designated something to be collectible, namilo, still, you are not, he cannot collect from it, and therefore he is not a nogeh be'edus. My time of why could the Rava? Because Rava says, Dama Rava, asa abdo apotiki macharo. If I make my eved an apotiki, and then I sold it, a bal chov is allowed to collect from it. So there, that would be nogeh be'edus. I wouldn't be able to testify on the buyer of my eved. But shoro v'chamoro apotiki macharo. But if I sold my ox or my donkey, I made him into an apotiki, right? A specified lien, and I sold it. Ein bal chov go b'menu. Still tough luck on my creditor. Even if I specified my time of why, hi is like kala. By an eved becoming an apotiki, everybody hears about it. So therefore, it's the fault of the buyer. It's the fault of the buyer. V'halas like kala. But here, there is no ko by a para and a talis. Therefore, we cannot fault the buyer. And therefore, the balchov is not allowed to collect from the buyer. Period. So finally, Baruch Hashem, we have an answer. What's the difference between testifying on behalf of the buyer of my cow or beged versus a piece of land? The difference is this case. By a piece of land, we're not going to trust him because the creditor could eventually go take it from this guy, and I don't want to be a lover rush of a lo yishalim. But by metaltalin, by the other metaltalin, he's never going to be able to take it from this guy. That a Baal Chob never has his mind, but if it's an apotiki, he does have his mind. So apotiki maybe does have his mind, potentially, by an Evid. Okay, we have to continue. There's an important Abachanan if you want to look at it on this Gemara and Os Kuf Sadik. One minute! Maybe there are a couple of other possibilities we could be choshesh. Maybe it is a case where there is metaltalin that is meshubid. Maybe he gave him karka with metaltalin. And to Amar Rava, and Rava says, I'akli metaltali agav mekarkoi kani mekarkoi kani metaltali. The principle is, if I'm meshabed karka, metaltalin could also be meshubed that way. Just like there's a kinyan called agav, if I sell you lands, the metaltalin could go along. I could sell you land, and along with that, I could be makna you agav, the land, metaltalin. So too, shibud works that way. Look at the language of the Rashbam. The language that's right across from where the Bach is, two lines under us. The nechassim she'ein l'machrayis k'on metaltalin niknim imachassim she'ish l'machrayis l'ni matana v'hu adin l'nyin shibud. The miyugudu chal shibud amekarkoi chal namei metaltali. Shibud, if you have a shibud chal on karka, you could have a shibud chal on metaltalin. Just like kinyin, there's a kinyin agav, there's a shibud agav. And that could work, says Rabba. So why aren't we choshish that maybe he did this? The Emir Rav Chizr just says parenthetically, what are we talking about? A case of, we know this language from the Ksuba. By the way, the only way this would work is if he says that there is no asmachta issues here. Asmachta we've discussed in the past, a transaction based on a future event, and I'm not really committing myself. That's asmachta v'paskin's lokanya. So he writes in the shtar, there's no future element that this is talion, and it's not a tosi the shtari. This is not a fake shtar that Sofrim have just to copy other shtaras from. So Rav Chizr just adds that in, that's the only way that this would work in this shtar. Anyway, back to the questions. Why aren't we choshesh that he was mishabed metaltalin? And therefore, he would be no geba edus, because the Baal Chov would be able to go and collect it. No, he bought this and sold it right away. So, we know that he didn't do any kinyan agav in the middle. Maybe he arranged to have a future kinyan. Di'ikni means, maybe I said to you, anything that I will sell and will buy will be mishabed. So what? It happened quickly. Maybe he arranged it earlier. Right? Just like, even though we have this principle of makna, ein adam makna davar shelo bal olam, maybe a person could be mishabed a davar shelo bal olam. That's a discussion here in the Gemara. So shmas mina, the fact that we aren't choshesh that, maybe it shows the ikni kana umachar, kana varish shelo mishabed. Maybe, shouldn't this prove a sugya later on in the Masechta that this would not work? If I say anything, I'm going to be mishabed you something that I don't have yet, and then I get it and then I sell it, that's not included in the shibud. So maybe should we prove that? So the Gemara says, no. Maybe there's no proof to any of that. Lo tzricha dekamri edim yadina be b'hai de lo havi le'arame olam. No, maybe the case is that edim say, we know this guy has no land. This guy has no land. Therefore, you don't have to be worried about that he did any type of shibud with agav, because he has no land. The Rashbam here quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, because in about the 10th wide line, edim come and say, we have been with this guy forever. He has never left our vision. Says the Rabbi Chanan on the 10th line. Zeha ish lo nisparish mimenu meodo v'ad hayom. Ubari lanu shebemashakana. We know exactly everything of his bank account. V'chilo kana karka meolam lo batana lo bakniya. He's never bought any karka. Rabbi Chanan says the Ritva. What are you talking about? He's never been alone? There are Aiden that say, he's never, how old is this guy? For 25 years, he's never been out of my vision. So the Ritva says, no, I thought he was just talking about neighbors. I'm talking about a guy that every second, neighbors know whether a guy buys land or not. Mistama, whether he buys land. But Lav Dafka, that it's a guy, he has to be in your vision 24-7 for 25 years. It's impossible. So that's why, just this, a little discussion that we've shown him, how you get this. Okay, we'll have to stop here, but look, the Ksos, very important Ksos in the... Where's the Ksos? I'll tell where you, where it is, in Kufyud Beis. What's the difference? Why is it possible to be a Ein Adam Makne Davash Lo Bala Olam, but maybe a person can be Meshabed Adavash Lo Bala Olam? Right, maybe we'll start with that tomorrow, if we have time. Actually, there's no Shir tomorrow. Hashem, maybe we'll start with that. Maybe we'll discuss it at some point. Okay, Hashem, tomorrow, somebody want to give, you can meet here, Chabura, you know, do the daf. Hashem, I'll be back Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock. We'll do daf membav. Okay, we'll get back to the case. Okay? Everybody, please let us know feedback about how the new mic is working. We're trying to constantly better the quality. Okay. Okay.